Let's turn to our scripture.
启示录.
Please turn to the book of Revelation.
第二章.
Chapter 2.
第十八节.
Verse 18.
你要写信给推亚推拉教会的使者说那眼目如火焰脚像光明同的神之子说
And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this,
我知道你的行为、爱心、信心、勤劳、忍耐，又知道你幕后所行的善事比起初所有的更多。
I know your deeds, and your love, and faith, and service, and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first.
然而有一件事我要责备你，就是你容让那自称是先知的妇人耶西别教导我的仆人引诱他们行奸淫，吃偶像之物。But
I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols.
26节.
Verse
26. 那得胜又遵守我命令到底的，我要赐给他权柄制服列国。
And he who overcomes, and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nation.
他必用铁杖辖管他们，将他们如同摇户的瓦器打得粉碎，像我从我父领受的权柄一样。
And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken in, to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father.
我又把晨星赐给他们。
And I will give him the morning star.
圣灵向众教会所说的话，凡有耳的，就应当听。
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
我想大家都知道这一段的圣经。
I think we're all familiar with this passage.
我们知道，在启示录，圣灵借着约翰给亚细亚七个教会，一共有七封的书信。In
this book of Revelation, the Holy Spirit wrote to seven churches in Asia Minor through the Apostle John.
我们知道，当施洗约翰在巴摩海岛。
We remember when the Apostle John was exiled on the island of
Patmos. 如果天气晴朗的话，他应该可以看到以弗所。
And if the weather was good, he could see Ephesus.
那因为那是在主日。
But it was on the Lord's Day.
所以他就怀念当初曾经怎样的和这亚细亚的七个教会的神的儿女们聚在一起。
And John remembers the days when he spent time with the saints in Ephesus.
所以当约翰写这七封书信的时候,
and the churches in Asia Minor, and so when he wrote these letters,
他那个次序是按照地理的次序,
he followed a geological order.
以弗所最近, 老底家最远,
geographical order, where Ephesus was the closest and Laodicea was the farthest away from him.
以弗所、士麦那等等这样，一直到最后是老底家。
Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, and so on and so on.
那大家知道，因为启示录乃是一本预言的书。
Now we understand that the book of Revelation is apocalyptic in nature.
所以我们知道这七个教会乃是特别是指着在历史上教会历史上那教会所要经过的情景来说的。
And hence we understand that these seven churches are pointing to the churches in history during the last.
我们知道这七个教会都已经在历史上了。
2,000 years. We know that these seven churches have already appeared in history.
是第一个世纪的教会。
And the first one appeared in the first century.
但是你发现主在这里所说的话不只应用在第一世纪。
But you find that God's word not only can apply to the saints in the first century.
比方神应许腓立帖菲的教会。
For example, the Lord's promise to the church in Philadelphia.
主说你既遵守我忍耐的道，我必在普天下受试炼的时候。 保守你免去你的试炼。
The Lord says, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world.
这里特别讲到将来要来的大灾难。
Here is talking about the great tribulation that is to come.
所以腓立帖菲是一直要继续到主再来的。
And for this reason, we understand that the Philadelphian church will continue, will persist until the second time.
如果他们忠心的话,
and if they were faithful,
你看见在大灾难那以前他们要被提。
You'll find that they would be taken away before the tribulation.
我们知道自从九一事件以后,
we know since September 11,
纽约不一样了。
New York has changed.
美国不一样了。
The United States has changed.
全世界也不一样。
The whole world is different now.
为什么最近在打仗这件事上全世界大家看法不同呢?
Now, why is it that people of the world have different opinions concerning the war?
因为九一的苦难是美国人的苦难。
Because September 11 is a tribulation for the Americans.
所以对美国人来讲，九一对他们有很深刻的印象。
And hence, the Americans have a deeper impression of that event.
所以对那些没有经过九一的人，
for those people who have not gone through September 11,
他们很明显的有另外的想法。
Clearly, their ideas are different.
所以我们知道，今天我们已经处在九一一后的时代。
Now we live in an era
post
9/11 era.
我们知道，因为这个缘故，我们就晓得主回来日子实在是很近。
And because of this, we see that the Lord's coming is near.
九一给我们看见新恐怖主义的诞生。
September 11 shows us the birth of a new terrorism.
但是等到将来，圣经告诉我们，天使吹第六个号的时候。
But in the future, when the angel is to blow the sixth trumpet,
那个时候我们就知道新的恐怖主义要到了高峰。
And we know that that would be the peak of this terrorism.
所以我们知道说，苦难，全世界的大灾难，比我们所想象要来得快得很多。
And hence, this great tribulation that is coming to the whole world will be sooner than we think.
我们中国人有一句话说，等到山雨要来的时候，以前。
There's a Chinese saying that says, before the rain would come,
你看见风就灌满了整个的楼。
And you would feel the wind filling up this room.
现在山雨还没有来。
Now the rain has not come yet.
现在不过是风满楼而已。
But now we can feel the breeze in the building.
但是你知道说山雨很快就要来了。
But you do know that rain and storm would come soon.
所以九一并不是山雨已经来了。
9/11 is not the storm.
九一不过告诉我们风已经满楼了。
But it's only telling us that the wind is already blowing.
但是没有多久以后，你知道山雨就要来了。
But you know that not long after this.The rain and the storm.
所以今天大灾难或者被提的问题对我们基督徒来说，
and hence today this question of the great tribulation and rapture
不是一个 academic 不是一个学术的问题，
it is not academic for us Christians，
是一个非常切身的问题，
but it is a very practical matter。
那教会是不是要经过大灾难？
Now will the church go through the great tribulation？
在这里很清楚给我们看见。
Here, the scripture is clear.
菲勒切菲如果这个教会是第一个世纪的教会的话，
Now, if the Philadelphian church is only for the first century,
但是我们知道第一世纪主还没回来。
But we know that the Lord did not return during the first century.
而且这七个教会后面的四个教会都是给我们看见一直说到主再来。
And the letters to the rest of the four churches, they all talk about the second coming.
所以这里给我们看见说这个七个教会实在说来不光是第一个世纪的教会。
And from this we see that these seven churches are not only represent those in the first century,
乃是指着回来以前教会的情形来说。
But they are pointing to the condition of the church before the second coming of the Lord.
所以从圣经的预言我们已经看见教会历史的一个大概一个轮廓。
And hence from prophecy in the scripture we can already seeThe history of the church, the development of the church.
所以以弗所的教会乃是指着第一个世纪的教会。
And hence the church in Ephesus represent the church in the first century.
士美拿的教会乃是教会经过大逼迫，有200年到300年受逼迫的光景。
Smyrna represent the church that underwent great tribulation during the second and third century.
别加摩的教会，别加摩乃是结婚的意思。
Now, Pergamum, this word Perga means marriage.
那就是从君士坦丁接受基督教做国教以后。
And this is talking about Constantine accepting Christianity.
我们看见教会和世界就结婚了。
And making Christianity a national religion, you see that the world and the church are married.
所以那个就是别加摩教会的开始。
Now, that is the beginning of the church of Pergamum.
但是这头三个教会圣经没有讲到 讲到主的回来。
But you see that in the letter to these three churches, the second coming of the Lord was not mentioned.
所以我们这头三个教会是已经过去。
And hence we know that they represent churches that are past.
但是从推亚推拉教会开始。
But beginning with Thyatira,
是一直要继续到主回来。
You find that this will persist until the second coming.
所以我们知道这不可能只应用在第一个时期。
And hence we realize that this is not strictly applied to churches in the first century.
所以这七个教会一定是指着关乎教会的预言来。
And hence we understand that these seven churches represent the churches in the, in the last 2000 years.
在约翰的时候他是往前看。
Now John saw this as looking ahead. Looking forward.
他是用时间的望远镜往前面看。
And he had a telescope that would see through time.
那么从第一个世纪、第二个世纪、第三个世纪一直看到主要回来。
And he saw through the first, second, third century until the coming of the Lord.
所以这一段第二章、第三章实在说来是关乎教会的预言。
And hence, these letters in chapter 2 and 3 are really prophecy concerning the church.
但是今天我们是回头看。
But for us today, we are looking backward.
所以我们知道已经有许多已经是教会的历史。
And hence, we know that much of what is talked about is history.
有的已经应验了。
And many have been fulfilled.
所以我们如果对照教会历史的话，
And if we look at this in parallel with church history,
我们就知道说神的话是非常非常准确。
And you find that God's word is very accurate.
那么当教会经过这么长久的历史，
Now church having gone through this much history,
到了推亚推拉教会的时候，
And when she comes to Thyatira,
你看见教会已经到了黑暗的时期，
You find that the church has entered darkness.
所以推亚推拉乃是指着教会中的黑暗时期来说的。
And hence, Thyatira is talking about the dark ages of the church.
那么我们说为什么那是指着教会最黑暗的时候呢？
Now, why is that the case?
因为凡是得胜的，
Because those who overcome,
主说我要把晨星给他。
The Lord said, I will give him the morning star.
我们知道晨星出现乃是黑夜最深最暗的时候。
We know the morning star would appear right at the darkest moment of the night.
如果晨星一出现，你知道曙光很快就出现。
Once the morning star appears, dawn would follow soon.
所以我们知道说，等到教会到了很黑暗、伸手不见五指的时候。
And hence, when the church had entered such a great darkness,
那这个时候是有一个应许。
And that for that time, the Lord has this
time. 神要呼召一般得胜者。
The Lord was calling a group of overcomers.
那么神要把晨星赐给他们。
And that the Lord was to give them the morning star.
你知道天就慢慢就要开始亮了。
And you know that day dawn will be coming soon.
所以在这里，如果我们来回看、回顾整个历史的话。
And hence, if we review history in this way.
我们知道教会曾经有一段的时间是在黑暗的时间。
We find that the church was indeed in an age of darkness.
但是感谢主。
But we thank the Lord.
晨星要出现。
The morning star will soon appear.
黎明很快就要来到。
Dawn, daybreak will come soon.
所以我们这一次一共有四次的时间。
And this time we have a total of four sessions.
我们特别要说到教会的复兴。
We want to talk about the history of the recovery of God's church.
教会的历史用了两千年。
Now there are 2,000 years of history.
我们不可能用四次的时间就把它讲完了。
It's impossible to cover the entire history.
所以我们这一次特别注意，在教会历史最黑暗的时候。
We want to pay particular attention to the time when the church was in darkness.
晨星是怎么出现的
？How morning star begin to appear?
然后你看见那个异人的道路，好像黎明的光是越照越明，一直到日午。
And how the way of the righteous will become brighter and brighter.
所以从这里我们就会看见圣灵到底在教会历史中怎么样的工作。
And we begin to understand what the Holy Spirit was doing in the church.
所以我们所注意的就是当教会已经到了最黑暗的时候。
And so our attention is on when the church is in this great darkness.
圣灵怎样在教会里面点起复兴的火。
How did the Holy Spirit lit up this fire for revival.
神怎样做恢复的工作。
And how God was doing the work of recovery.
那如果我们明白教会历史的话。
Now if we understand the history of the church.
我们就知道今天的道路是怎么一回事。
And we will also know what is the way for us to go.
这和我们的追求有很大的关系。
And this has much to do with our pursuit.
这和我们的目标有很大的关系。
And has much to do with our purpose.
让别人去得着成功，去得着兴隆。
And let other people have their prosperity.
但是我们愿意跟随主走他所给我们走的这条路。
But we want to faithfully follow the way that the Lord prescribed for us.
所以圣经中的这些预言。
Hence these prophecies in the scripture.
一面说到教会的历史。
On the one hand, they talk about the history of the church.
另一面也告诉我们到底教会有没有明天。
And on the other hand, they tell us whether there's a tomorrow for us.
我们常常问一个问题。
We often ask this question.
到底教会有没有前途？
Is there a future for the church?
到底教会有没有明天？
Is there a tomorrow for the church?
那弟兄姊妹，今天看看教会的光景。
Brothers and sisters, if we look around at the condition of the church today,
我们常常会叹一口气说教会到底有没有明天。
We often will sigh and we say, is there a future for the church?
但如果我们明白圣经中的预言。
But if we understand the prophecy from God's
word, 特别是关乎教会的预言。
Especially those that concerns the church.
我们就要从主的话里面得着鼓励。
And we will receive encouragement from the Lord's
word. 一面你看见在教会历史上神怎样的做。
On the one hand, we see how God did perform in the history of the church.
所以我们就找到了羊群的脚踪。
And we find the footsteps of the flock.
那我们今天尽管跟着羊群的脚踪往前去。
And for us, we just need to follow those footsteps.
但这条路并不容易。
But this way, this road is not easy.
因为主明明告诉我们这条是窄路。
Because the Lord clearly told us that this would be a narrow way.
世界的路是宽的。
Now the way of the world is broad.
世界的路是包括宗教的世界在里面。
Now this world includes the religious world.
但是如果今天我们要跟随主走这条路的话。
But today if we are to follow the Lord faithfully.
你看见主没有把我们留在黑暗里。
You find that the Lord would not leave us in darkness.
所以我们一面是要来看教会的复兴史。
So on the one hand we are to look at the history of recovery.
但是我们要从主的话语里面来看。
But we want to look at it from God's word.
事情没有发生，主就告诉我们教会的将来是怎样发展。
Even before anything happened, the Lord already foretold us what will happen for the
church. 但是圣经不只是把将来历史告诉我们。
Now the scripture not only gives us the history.
它也把对历史的解释告诉我们。
It also gives explanation of the history.
所以我想这个就是非常非常重要的。
And I feel that this is very important for us.
那现在我想我们就很快地进到我们的主题。
So now let's enter into the theme of this meeting.
那么我们到底怎么样来看教会的复兴史？
Now how do we look at the history of the church's recovery?
那我们需要回到旧约的圣经。
We need to actually return to the Old Testament.
你知道旧约的圣经里面有五卷的书是非常特别的。
You know there are five books in the Old Testament that are very special.
这五卷的书称作恢复的书卷。
And these are called the books of recovery.
我们知道其中一卷是以斯拉记。
We know Ezra.
然后尼希米记。
Nehemiah.
然后撒加利亚书。
Zechariah.
哈该书。
Haggai.
然后是以斯帖记。
And Esther.
所以在这五卷的书信里面
And in these five books
你很清楚的那是指着在以色列的历史里面神怎样做恢复的工作
You can clearly see how the Lord restored Israel
以色列曾经有一度被掳到巴比伦去
Israel was once taken captive
然后怎么样的回来
And how did they return
然后弥赛亚终于诞生在伯利恒
And how the Messiah was birthed In Bethlehem.
所以我们知道说从这个旧约的历史
And hence from Old Testament history
表面上是以色列的历史
On the surface it's the history of the Jewish people
但是大家不要忘记
But don't forget
旧约的话旧约的记载实在说来是一幅图画
The record in the Old Testament is really a picture
所以旧约许许多多的话实际上像一个图片一样
AndThe words in the Old Testament are really like pictures for us.
所以我们称这些图片称它做预表。
And we call these pictures types.
那么不要忘记这个预表，特别在中文里面，我们不光是讲表号，不光讲 symbols， 而且我们特别讲的预表，这是翻译的很好的。
And so these are not merely symbols, but they are types.
我们都知道在旧约里面有很多的预言。
Now we know in the Old Testament there are many prophecies.
预言就是把将来的事用文字很明显的把它表达出来。
And prophecies are predictions of events that will happen in the future.
比方说讲到巴比伦的预言。
For example, prophecies relating to Babylon.
那么讲到巴比伦的预言，讲到历史的巴比伦，也讲到末世的巴比伦。
And concerning Babylon, it talks about both of the one that happened already in history and also the one to come.
所以这个是很明显圣经给我们看见这个巴比伦的前途是怎样回事。
And hence the scripture clearly shows us what Babylon would become.
那这个是用文字来描写。
And of course these were recorded as words.
但是这个不是仅仅的圣经中的预言。
But these are not the only prophecies in the scripture.
你如果仔细读圣经中的预言，它还有另外一种的题材。
And if you look carefully, some prophecies are written in another format.
它乃是用图画来形容的。
And oftentimes these are given to us in pictures.
那么这些用图画来讲到将来所要发生的事。
And these prophetic pictures tell us what will happen in the future.
那么不要忘记，这个也是预言。
But don't forget, these are still prophecies.
这个不是用文字来表达预言，这是用图画来表达预言。
And these are not articulated with words, but expressed through pictures.
而这些图画的解释是在新约里面。
And the explanation of these pictures are found in the New Testament.
比方说，在这个图画里面讲到以色列人的时候。
For example, in the picture, when they talk about Israel.
这个不过是影子，是个 shadow.
And that's only a shadow.
但是真正的实体乃是指着教会来说。
The reality is speaking of the church.
所以旧约里面许许多多的图画不过是告诉我们将来所要发生的事。
And hence these pictures or shadows really telling us what is happening in the future.
比方说约瑟的故事。
For example, the story of Joseph.
你看约瑟在主还没有降生以前老早就来到这个地上。
And Joseph came so many more years earlier than the Lord Jesus.
那为什么我们读约瑟的故事呢？
But why is it that we study the life of Joseph?
因为在那个时候，事实上圣灵已经安排约瑟的一生了。
Because at that time the Holy Spirit has already prearranged the life of Joseph.
约瑟不光是为着自己活着。
Hence Joseph not only lived for himself.
约瑟乃是为着将来要来的一位活着。
Joseph lived for this one who is coming.
所以约瑟的一生乃是根据将来要来的一位一步一步的来安排。
And hence.The life of Joseph is prescribed in a way that will reflect this one that is to come.
他怎样的被弃绝？
How he was forsook.
他怎样被他的弟兄恨？
How he was hated by his brother.
他怎样的是父亲所喜悦的？
And how he was loved by his father.
如果你问他，他不错，约瑟是为自己活，没有错。
It is true he did live and live for himself.
但是实在说来，他乃是为着另外一位的活着的。
But in reality, we find that he was living for another one.
所以他不光是被恨，也被卖。
And so he was hated and was sold.
后来最后被人误会。
And in the end, he was also misunderstood.
最后被列在罪犯之中。
And he was listed among the transgressors.
你看见在他一同坐在监牢里面。
And you find those who were imprisoned along with him.
有两个人。
There were two.
一个人得救了，一个人灭亡了。
One was saved, one perish.
而且我们知道说约瑟乃是无辜的，乃是没有罪的。
And we know that Joseph was innocent.
那为什么约瑟要经过这些事呢？
Now why Joseph will have to go through these things?
因为我们知道圣灵要借着约瑟这人物来预告将来有一位比约瑟更大的。
Because the Holy Spirit wants to take the life of Joseph and use that to typify the one that is to come.
所以约瑟就成了基督的预表。
And hence Joseph is a type of Christ.
你看见我们的主怎样为父神所爱。
You see how the Lord is beloved of God.
然但是呢，你看却他来到自己的人中间，自己的人却不接待他。
But you find that he came to his own, but his own would not recognize
him. 他们说钉他十字架，钉他十字架。
They cried out, crucify him, crucify him.
然后我们的主被挂在十字架上。
And the Lord was hung on the tree.
他是没有罪，却列在罪犯之间。
He was sinless.Yet he was among sinners.
结果和他一同定的两个强盗。
And those two thieves that were crucified with him.
一个得救了，一个灭亡了。
You found one was saved, the other perished.
所以弟兄姊妹，当你读约瑟的故事的时候
，And hence when you read the story of Joseph，
我们知道这是预表。
You understand that it is a type.
约瑟不过是影子。
And hence Joseph was the shadow.
基督才是那个实体。
Christ is the true image.
所以圣灵借着约瑟的故事来讲，将来以那位基督如果来到地上是怎么样一回事。
And the Holy Spirit used the life of Joseph to help us envision what it's like for the Savior.
所以关于基督的预言。
And hence prophecies concerning Christ.
如果在旧约里面用文字的话，是333个。
And if they are articulated, there are 333 prophecies.
但是除了这个之外，
but besides these prophecies,
你看见关于基督的预言，有的用图画来描写。
Prophecy concerning Christ that are described to us in pictures.
那你从约瑟的身上你能看见。
And you can see that in the life of Joseph.
当全地充满饥荒的时候。
And when the land was full of famine,
只有约翰能把生命的粮食供给全世界。
Only Joseph was able to give food to the people.
我们的主不只是我们的救主。
Our Lord is not only our Savior.
今天全世界真的充满了饥荒。
And in this world, you see that there is truly a famine.
只有我们的主能把生命的粮仓为我们打开。
Only the Lord can open up the vault with bread of life.
没有一个人像约瑟那样。
No one was like Joseph.
好像一点一滴都能把基督的荣美把它彰显出来。
And he can so completely express the beauty of Christ.
所以如果你这样来读旧约的话，
And hence if you read the Old Testament in this way,
所以我们要看见一面旧约有预言不错。
You will see that on the one hand there are prophecies indeed.
但是预言有两种不同的体态。
But they are, you have to understand, prophecies are written in two styles.
一面是用文字来描写。
One, they are articulated clearly with words.
还有一面呢是用图画来描写。
The others are depicted for us in history.
同样的一个原则。
In the same, along the same
principle. 关于基督的预言。
Prophecies concerning Christ.
你看见在旧约里面。
You find in the Old Testament.
你看见一面有文字的，一面有图画。
You have prophecies that are clearly spoken in words and prophecies in types.
关于教会的预言。
Now, how about prophecies concerning the church?
但是因为教会乃是新约的奥秘。
Now, the church is a mystery of the New Testament.
所以在旧约你看见就没有那些很明显文字的预言。
And in the Old Testament, you do not find any word that talk about the church.
但是有图画的。
But we do have pictures.
因为教会很明显，教会乃是奥秘，乃是到了我们主来的时候，我们的这个奥秘才揭开的。
And because the church was a mystery, it was only revealed to us when Christ came into the world.
虽然如此，但是在旧约里面，关于教会的图画很明显是在旧约里面。
Even so, we do find pictures that clearly describe to us what the church is.
所以以色列的历史，以色列的故事，实在是一幅的图画。
The story of the people of Israel really is a picture of the church.
你看见以色列人怎样被掳？
You see how the Israelites were taken captive.
就给我们看见教会怎样被掳。
And that shows us how the church would be taken captive.
我们知道神有两班的子民。
You know God has two groups of
亚伯拉罕有两班的子孙。
Of citizens, Abraham have two kinds of descendants.
那一般的子孙像海边的沙那么多。
And one group of descendants are like the sand along the seashore.
那是以色列。
Those are the Israelites.
另外一般的子孙好像天上的星那么多，指着教会来说。
Another group of descendants are like stars in the heaven.
你我如果明白圣经的话
，These are talking about the church.
神对待他的子民只有一个对待。
And from the scripture, God treats his children in the same way.
神怎样对待属地的子民，他也怎样对待属天的子民。
How God dealt with his earthly children, he would do the same to his heavenly children.
所以你就很稀奇，在旧约好像那些事是讲到以色列人的故事。
And so, amazingly, even though you find stories that talk about the Jews in the Old Testament,
但是很明显的是给我们看见教会将来的前程。
It is fairly obvious that they're also telling us what will happen to the church.
所以为什么我们这一次要来看这个五封的恢复的书信？
Why is it that we want to look at these five books of recovery?
我们是借着这五封的书信让我们看见教会历史的轮廓，复兴历史的轮廓。
Because we want to use this to show us a profile of the church.
我们不可能进到这五卷的书信里面。
An outline. We can't go into detail of these five books.
但是我们可以从这五卷的书信里面，圣灵给我们一幅图画。
But from these five books, we cannot paint a picture.
然后你回过头看教会历史的时候。
And then if you use that to compare with the church history,
你看见神的原则是完全一样的。
You'll find that the way of God is the same.
所以虽然在旧约圣经里面，
Even though they were recorded in the Old Testament,
没有教会的预言像基督的预言那么明显。我只说不是那么明显。
And prophecy concerning the church is not as obvious as that relating to Christ.
你很不容易找到那么明显的预言，文字的。
And you, it's very hard to find anything that's articulated.
因为圣经明明给我们看见神历史历代所隐藏的，没有人知道的。
Because the church is something that God hid throughout the ages.
是我们的主来的时候才把它解开的。
It was only after the Lord came into this world, He opened it to us.
所以我们知道这是非常重要的一点。
And so this is very important to remember.
但虽然如此，
Even so,
当我们读旧约圣经的时候，
When we do come to the Old Testament,
你看以色列人将来的历史。
And you look at the future history of Israel.
很明显的就给我们看见教会历史的轮廓。
And it shows us an outline of the history of the church.
那么我们应该注意教会复兴史的缘故。
Now because our attention is on the recovery of the church,
我们要问到底神在教会中怎么做他恢复的工作。
We want to ask, how did God do it?
那么我们就回过头在旧约里面看神在属地百姓中间怎么做。
And we want to go back to the Old Testament and look at how God did it.
因为背后有一个属灵的原则。
Because behind all of that, there is a spiritual principle.
神是用那个属灵的原则来对待以色列人。
God dealt with the people of Israel based on that principle.
我们今天知道神怎么对待教会。
And how is God dealing with His church today?
那些原则是永远的原则。
That is based on the same principle.
结果我们知道在旧约你回过头去看原来神是用那个原则来对待以色列人。
And based on this, we can see that God used the same eternal principle to deal with His people.
所以当我们读这五卷书信的时候，
And hence when we read these five books,
我们从里面的记载，
And look at what is recorded,
我们就能看见这个复兴，教会复兴的那个轮廓。
And we can see an outline of the recovery of the church.
所以我们从这个轮廓里面来看圣灵在教会历史里面怎么做他荣耀恢复的工作。
And from that outline, we want to see how the Holy Spirit performed this work of recovery.
那么如果弟兄姊妹对这五卷圣经不熟的话，
Now if we are not quite familiar with
these five books, 也许您在周末的时候很快的可以把它看一下。
I encourage you to go through them quickly.
我们现在很快的来看一下很快的看一下以斯拉记。
Now let's turn to the book of Ezra.
Ezra, 我们来看第一章。
Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1 verse 1.
波斯王古列元年，耶和华为要应验借先耶利米口所说的话，就激动波斯王古列的心，使他下诏通告全国说。
Now in the first year of Cyrus king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation.
波斯王古列如此说，耶和华天上的神已将天下万国赐给我，又嘱咐我在犹大的耶路撒冷为他建造殿宇。
And he put this in writing, saying, Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem.
在你们中间，凡做他子民的，可以上犹大的耶路撒冷。在耶路撒冷重建耶和华以色列神的殿，只有他是神，愿神与这人同在。
Whoever there is among you of all his people, may his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem.
然后第五节
，verse five.
于是犹大和便雅悯的族长。祭司利未人就是一切被耶和华神激动他心的人都起来要上耶路撒冷去建造耶和华的殿
Then the head of fathers households, fathers households of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites arose even everyone whose spirit God had stirred to go up and rebuild the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem
第二章第一节
Chapter 2, verse 1.
巴比伦王尼布加尼撒从前掳到巴比伦及犹大省的人，现在他们的子孙从被掳到之地回耶路撒冷和犹大各归本城。
Now these are the people of the province who came up out of the captivity of the exiles, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away to Babylon, and returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each to his own city.
他们是同着所罗巴伯耶稣雅尼西米西莱雅利莱雅莫迪改毕山米斯巴比格瓦伊利红巴纳回来的
These came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, Reliah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpah, Bigvah, Rehum, and Baana
第三章
Chapter 3
第一节
Verse 1.
到了七月，以色列人住在各城，那是他们如同一人聚集在耶路撒冷。
Now when the seventh month came, and the sons of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem.
约瑟达的儿子耶稣雅和他的弟兄众祭司，并撒拉铁的儿子所罗巴伯与他的弟兄，都起来建筑以色列神的坛，要照神人摩西律法书上所写的，在坛上献燔祭。
Then Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brothers, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brothers arose and built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God.
他们在原有的根基上筑坛。
So they set up the altar on its foundation.
我想我们圣经就读这么多。
And we'll stop here for now.
我稍微把这段圣经解释一下。
Let me explain slightly this passage.
那弟兄姊妹都知道，以色列人他们曾经有一度被掳到巴比伦去。
We all know that the people of Israel were taken captive.
巴比伦的地方就是今天伊拉克所在的地方。
Babylon is situated in today's Iraq.
那么大家都知道说，以色列人最早本来是从巴比伦来的。
But we also understand that.The ancestor of the Jews came from Babylon.
以色列人又称为巴希伯来人。
Israelites, they were also Hebrews.
这个希伯来人的意思就是希伯来就是渡过河的意思。
The word Hebrew means one that crossed the river.
第一个渡过河的乃是亚伯拉罕。
The first one that went across the river was Abraham.
所有的以色列人就跟着亚伯拉罕一同渡过河。
And because of that, all Jews.Went across the river.
大家都知道亚伯拉罕本来是在河的那边，在巴比伦加勒底的乌尔。
We know that Abraham originally lived on the other side of the great river.
这个加勒底的乌尔就是最近打仗这个波斯湾战争，你知道这个所有的联军从科威特那个地方往北走。
Ur of the Chaldean is a city near where the Allied forces entered into a battle.
在亚伯拉罕的时候，加勒底乌尔事实上根本就在波斯湾旁边。
And the Ur of Chaldean of Abraham's time is really right next to the Persian Gulf.
那经过这么多年以后，他慢慢就退到内地去了。
through these many years, it did recede into inland.
那就是亚伯拉罕的故乡。
And that was the birthplace of Abraham.
结果圣经告诉我们，荣耀的神向亚伯拉罕显现。
The scripture tells us that the God of glory appeared to Abraham.
所以我们知道神就指示他往他所要去的地方。
And the Lord instructed him to leave his own country.
他去的时候还不知道往哪里去。
And when he set out, he didn't know where to go.
但是我们知道神乃是把应许美地赐给他。
But the Lord did promise to him a land.
那就是我们所知道的迦南地。
And that is the land of Canaan.
那因着亚伯拉罕顺服的缘故。
Now because of the obedience of Abraham.
他来到迦南地一定要经过越过约法拉底河。
And when he, before he comes to the land of Canaan, he must cross the river Euphrates.
那这几天大家如果看电视的话。
Now, if you have been paying attention to what's going on,
我想我们很少有机会像对伊拉克的地理、巴比伦地理像现在那么清楚的。
I think few of us is as familiar with the geography of Iran as today.
你们看得很清楚，有两条河，一个是底格里斯河，一个就是尤法拉底河。
And you see clearly there are two big rivers. One is Tigris, the other one is Euphrates.
巴格达是在底格里斯河上。
Baghdad is on the river Tigris.
巴比伦是在尤法拉底河上。
And Babylon is by Euphrates.
这个巴比伦是有名的方城、方阵之城。
And Babylon is a famous square city.
巴格达是有名的圆城。
Baghdad is a famous round city.
所以我们知道说这个就圣经里面，这个就圣经里面伊甸园里面四条河里面的两条河。
And these two rivers are two of the four rivers mentioned that are around Eden.
那另外两条现在找不到了。
The other two rivers, we do not know where they are.
所以有人根据传说，现在在尤法拉底河跟底格里斯河交口地方，他们说那个有一棵古老的树，可能就是亚当夏娃受试探的地方。
And there is a rumor that where Tigris and Euphrates come together, there is this ancient tree. That might be the trees where Adam and Eve were tempted.
那么如果这个战事很快地结束的话，
And if the war would end quickly,
那也许我们就有机会可以去参观那些地方。
We might have an opportunity to visit those places.
巴比伦城已经重建。
Now, the city of Babylon is already being rebuilt.
尼尼微的旧址还在那里。
The old address of Nineveh is still there.
所以我们知道包括加勒底乌尔。
And including the Ur of Chaldeans.
我们晓得亚伯拉罕就是从那里，就是从加勒底乌尔，然后过了约法拉底河，就来到了迦南。
We do know that Abraham came from Ur, went up along the river, and crossed the river Euphrates, and came to.
我们没有得救以前都在巴比伦。
Before we were saved, we were all in Babylon.
我们蒙恩受尽归入主名下的人，我们都是过了河的人。
And all of us who are redeemed and been baptized in the name of the Lord,
we have crossed the river. 是在河的这一边。
So we are on this side of the river now.
但是以色列的悲剧是什么？
But what is the tragedy of the Jews?
他们当初从什么地方来的？
Where did they come from at first?
等到他们落在神审判的手里面的时候，
When they were under God's wrath,
他们就回到原来的地方去。
They went back to where they came from.
这是他们最大最大的悲剧。
And that was the greatest tragedy.
但是这是以色列的历史。
But that was history.
弟兄姊妹，很清楚的。
It was very clear.
因着他们不忠心的缘故。
Because they were unfaithful.
因着他们失败的缘故。
Because they failed God.
结果最后神就把他们连根拔，像一棵树叶连根拔起，就一直把他们抛到遥远的巴比伦。
And the Lord judged them in a way as if to uproot the entire tree and throw them.
所以如果我们读圣经以色列的故事的话，
and hence when we read the story of the Jews,
我们可以说等到以色列被掳到巴比伦的时候，
and when they were taken captive to Babylon,
那可以说是以色列历史里面非常黑暗的时期。
And we can say that that is the dark age of the history of the
Jews. 所以你记不记得他们只好把琴挂在柳枝头上。
And hence they hang their harps on the tree,
willow tree. 他们每次想到锡安他们就哭了。
And they would weep every time they think of Zion.
弟兄姊妹，
Brothers and sisters,
这个对以色列来讲是一个非常伤痛的历史。
For the Jews, this was a painful history.
他们抛井离乡，离开了他们自己的故乡。
Because they were uprooted from their own land.
我们知道等当初啊，以色列人他们被掳到巴比伦的时候，
We understand that when they were taken captive,
他们是先是往北走，然后再往南走。
They went north first and then went east.
他们走的那个路线就是当初亚伯拉罕怎么来到迦南的路线。
And they went along the same route that Abraham took.
那今天不一样了。
But today it's different.
今天我们叫到约旦到巴格达有一条路公路的。
We know that today there's a highway connecting Jordan and Baghdad.
这个两旁有两个很大的 airfield.
And there are two airfields.
那么我们知道海山的那个飞毛腿的那个飞弹就是藏在那些地方。
And Saddam's Scud missiles were hidden near that area.
那到那个时候在圣经所记载的那根本那一片沙漠没有人走那条路的。
But in the time of the Old Testament, that was a pure desert.
所以亚伯拉罕怎么来他们就怎么回去。
And how Abraham came to Canaan, that's how they went back to Babylon.
所以耶利米形容得非常生动。
And Jeremiah gave us a vivid description.
等到以色列人他们经过拉结的那是圣经用一幅很生动的画给我们看当初以色列人他们怎样的流亡最后怎样的被掳到巴比伦。
And the scripture gave us a vivid disturbing picture of how the people were taken captive.
所以如果大家读以色列历史以色列被掳那段历史是一个很悲惨的一段的历史。
And so when we come to that part of the history of the Jews, it was very painful.
不错本来以色列人是全世界最好的农夫。
It is true, the Jews were the best farmers.
但是自从他们被掳到巴比伦去以后
But after they were taken captive to Babylon,
他们就成为全世界最好的商人
They became the best merchants in the world.
从那个以后开始
From that time,
他们就飘到全世界各地去
And they were dispersed throughout the world.
今天如果你把全世界的财富分成三份的话大概有一份就是他们
And if you divide all the wealth of the world into three parts, one of them would belong to the Jews.
今天犹太人能够建筑一个无形的金融的世界，是因为他们被掳到巴比伦去。
And the reason the Jews can create this world of wealth is because they were taken to Babylon.
不错，他们能够掌握金融世界的牛耳，以简单的来说，就是因为那次他们被掳到巴比伦去。
And they were able to, they can be the owner of so much wealth.
他们实在是 build up an empire, 就是 invisible empire.
That's right, they build up this invisible empire.
那这里面有 Coca-Cola, 这里面有 Coca-Cola.
And you have Coca-Cola.
也有 CNN, 有其他的。
And you have CNN, and there is other companies.
还有包括好莱坞等等等等。
And that could include Hollywood.
那原因很清楚，就是因为他们被掳到巴黎。
Reason is very clear. It was because they were taken to Babylon.
因着他们被掳掳到巴比伦，从今以后世界是他们的。
And because they were taken to Babylon, the world belonged to them.
从这个角度来看
，from that angle，
你看见他们成功了。
You do find that they are successful.
但是从神的旨意来看
，but from the perspective of God's will，
那是一个很大很大的悲剧。
It is a great tragedy.
因为在那个时候年轻人的前途是在巴比伦
because at that time the future for young people is in Babylon
你知道经过七十年以后
you know after 70 years
他们才回来的
they returned
你能够想象得到当时的老人许多已经不在了
and you can imagine that many of the elderly people they were gone
年轻人像以斯拉像以尼希米根本没有看见过圣殿
Young men like Ezra and Nehemiah, they never seen the temple in their life.
这些人对于耶路撒冷、对于西安、对于以色列没有感情的。
And they had no feeling towards Zion, Jerusalem, or the temple.
他们的前途是在巴比伦。
Their future was in Babylon.
而且成功在望，整个的世界在他们几乎就在他们的眼前。
And the world was for them to grasp.
但是不要忘记。
But don't forget.
如果有一天救主要诞生。
If one day the Savior is to come,
如果耶稣必须降生在伯利恒
，If the Messiah has to be born in Bethlehem,
如果从此以后他们就从巴比伦开始往外开展的话
，And if they were to disperse further from Babylon,
他们可以得着全世界
，They can gain the whole world.
但是问题在这里
，But there's the problem.
神的旨意怎么完成
？How will God's will be fulfilled?
人类的救主怎么能够降生在伯利恒？
How would the Savior of mankind be born in Bethlehem?
所以弟兄姊妹
Hence,
你看见圣灵就能够在一般少数的人身上开始工作。
You discover that the Holy Spirit was working in a small group of people.
所以圣经明明看见，给我们看见圣灵激动他们的心。
The scripture clearly says that the Holy Spirit stirred up their hearts.
他们几百万的人被掳到巴比伦去。
Millions were taken to Babylon.
但是只有五万的人，他们的心被激动了。
But only 50,000 were stirred up by the Holy
Spirit. 他们愿意回到耶路撒冷。
And they were willing to return to Jerusalem.
而第一次回到耶路撒冷都是那些老人。
And the first group that returned were the elderly.
他们看见过耶路撒冷的荣耀。
Some of them have seen the glory of Jerusalem.
他们经历过神的同在。
And they've experienced the presence of God.
所以他们要回来。
And hence they want to return.
有的人在他们这一生结束以前，他们要再回到他们曾经生长的地方。
And there were this group of people before they were to leave this world. They want to return to their birth.
所以圣经告诉我们，有一帮人他们就回来了。
And the scripture says a group of them returned.
这一帮人中间有一个领袖很有名的，就是所罗巴伯。
And the leader, a prominent leader among them, was Zerubbabel.
所以他们要回来。
They returned.
他们回到一座空城。
They returned to a city in ruins.
那个耶路撒冷城已经躺在废墟里。
The city of Jerusalem is in ruins.
七十年已经是荒凉的城。
And 70 years, the city was completely desolate.
现在他们从废墟里面要把圣殿重新建造。
And they were to rebuild the temple from rubble.
所以让我们记得，他们不是为着自己回来的。
Let us remember, they did not return for themselves.
他们乃是为着神的旨意回来。
They returned because of the will of God.
凭着他们自己应该留在巴比伦。
For their own advantage, they should stay.
但是为着基督要降生在伯利恒。
But because Christ was to be born in Bethlehem.
耶路撒冷必须重建。
Jerusalem had to be rebuilt.
伯利恒必须重建。
Bethlehem had to be rebuilt.
而且根据圣经的预言。
According to biblical prophecy,
弥赛亚要忽然进入他的殿。
Messiah was to enter into his temple.
主耶稣降生第八天就需要受割礼，他就需要进到神的殿。
On the eighth day after the birth of Jesus, he entered the temple.
所以圣殿不能够躺在废墟里面。
Circumcised, hence the temple had to be erected.
耶路撒冷不能够从此被忘记。
Jerusalem could not be a place for that is forgotten.
以色列大部分人他们可以忘记。
True, majority of the Israelites, they could forget.
因为耶路撒冷，因为巴比伦是他们的前程。
Because now Babylon is where their future hope.
后来历史证明
，history testified.
从那个地方开始，对于犹太人来讲，开展了一个无限的世界。
History proved to us that Babylon was the beginning of an unlimited world.
但神为着他自己的见证。
But God, for His testimony,
你看见当许多人贪求舒适、贪求世界的时候
，when many love prosperity and comfort in this world,
有一帮全世界最傻瓜的人
，there were a group of people that are silly.
但是神的灵激动他们
，but the Spirit of God stirred their heart.
他们愿意回来。
And they were willing to return.
你如果仔细注意，回来的人里面，利未人和祭司人是非常非常少。
And if you count the people, very few of them were Levites or priests.
他们为什么不要回来呢
？Do you know why?
因为如果他们回来的话
，Because if they return,
他们是没有产业的。
They had no inheritance.
他们什么也没有。
They have nothing.
但如果他们在巴比伦的话。
But if they remain in Babylon,
整个世界向他们打开双臂的。
And they were free to seek after the world.
所以你看见不是很多的人回来的。
And hence you find only a few return.
但是终于有一帮人回来了。
But nevertheless, a group did return.
然后他们在圣殿原来的根基上。
And then on the same foundation of the temple.
他们先是恢复了祭坛。
They first of all rebuilt the altar.
然后他们把圣殿要重建起来。
And then afterwards they rebuilt the temple.
弟兄姊妹，
Brothers,
这个就是以撒记的开始。
And this is the beginning of Ezra.
所以当我们读这段圣经的时候，
And when we read this part of
the Bible, 我们一定要明白那个背景。
We have to understand the background.
然后我们就知道说，今天教会的复兴史是怎么一回事。
And then we will be able to understand how the church will be recovered.
我们说过，属地的子民的故事乃是说说属天子民的故事。
We've mentioned the story of the earthly people of God reflects that of the heavenly people.
以色列历史不过是图画。
The history of the Jews is only a picture.
当神安排以色列的历史的时候，故事的时候
，When God was arranging the history of the Jews,
神的心目里面是教会做标本。
Again, the pattern that God had in mind was the church.
这个以色列在历史上怎么拐弯，怎么行走？
And how the people of Israel would turn this way and go that way.
乃是根据神心目中将来教会怎么发展来描写的。
It's based on how the church would develop in history.
神怎样安排约瑟的一生。
How God arranged the life of Joseph.
给我们描写基督的一切。给我们将来要发生的一切。
And describing all the things that would happen to Christ.
同样的，你看见神安排以色列的经，以色列的故事。
In a similar way, God arranged the history of the Jews.
给我们看见将来教会要经过的。
And to show us what the church will go through.
所以弟兄姊妹。
Brothers and sisters.
现在你看见说。
Now we understand.
属地的子民失败了。
Earthly people.
失败了。
Failed.
结果你看见属天的子民也失败了。
You find the heavenly people also failed.
因为当我们读启示录第二章的时候。
Because when we come to Revelation chapter 2,
你看见教会曾经一度到了最黑暗的时候。
You find the church was engulfed in darkness.
神呼召得胜者。
And God was calling
overcomers. 神要把晨星赐给他们。
And the Lord was to give them the morning star.
谁能看见晨星呢？
Who can see the morning star?
虽然他经过了伸手不见五指的黑夜。
Even though he has gone through the darkest of the dark night.
但是神要把晨星赐给他们。
But the Lord was to give them the morning star.
等到他们得着晨星的时候
And when they have this morning star,
你要天很快的就要亮
You know daybreak is to come.
那亲爱的弟兄姊妹如果我们读教会历史的话
If we read the history of the church,
特别教会到了第十二个世纪
Especially around 12th century,
所有写历史人都告诉我们说教会果然进到了一个空前黑暗的时代
Historian of all walk tell us that the church had entered into a dark age.
当教会进到黑暗时代的时候
And when the church was in darkness,
你看见圣经有一个形容来形容它。
The scripture has a description.
那就是启示录第十七章的描写。
And that is the description of Revelation 17.
在那里给我们一个奥秘大巴比伦。
There we are given a great mystery, Babylon.
所以在这里给我们看见说，等到教会进到黑暗时期的时候
，And so when the church entered the dark age,
事实上教会已经被掳到巴比伦去了。
And in reality, the church has been taken captive into Babylon.
所以我们要从这个眼光来认识教会历史。
And so we want to look at church history from this perspective.
意思是说，当教会进到十二世纪最黑暗的时候
，When the church comes to the dark age in 12th century,
在那个时候圣灵描写它的时候
，And when the Holy Spirit described that condition,
给我们看见这个就是巴比伦。
The scripture shows that this is Babylon.
她是个女人
，and she was a woman.
那么，而且圣经很明显给我们看见
，and the scripture clearly says,
很明显给我们看见她甚至于喝圣徒的血
，that she was drunk with the blood of saints.
所以从这些地方，我们看见这个就是圣经对历史的解释。
And this is how the Holy Spirit will explain history.
所以我们一定要从这个地方开始才可以。
And so we have to start from this place.
那么现在我们要问。
Now we need to ask,
到了第三世纪的时候
when we come to the 12th century,
教会怎么是被掳到巴比伦去
How was the church taken to Babylon?
等到教会在历史上变成个势力
Because church is becoming a world power.
那甚至于我们都知道整个欧洲一半的土地都是属于教会
And we find that half of Europe belongs to the church
所以你看见教会成为世界上一个很大很大的势力的时候
And you find that the church has become a great political power
你知道圣灵给他的形容是什么形容
And how did the Holy Spirit describe the church
其实事实上教会已经变成大巴比伦
The church has become great mystery Babylon.
所以这就给我们看见，根据圣经的解释，到了三世纪的时候，你看教会已经被掳到巴比伦。
And so, based on the explanation of Scripture, the church has been taken captive to Babylon.
以色列人曾经被掳到巴比伦。
Now the Israelites were taken to Babylon.
现在神的教会也被落到巴比伦。
Now the church of God has been taken to Babylon.
现在我们要问怎么教会变成巴比伦。
Now we want to ask, how did it happen?
教会怎么被落到巴比伦去？
How did the church taken captive to Babylon?
我们知道说巴比伦最在圣经里面最清楚的一点。
There's one thing that is clear concerning Babylon.
因为巴比伦乃是所有宗教的母亲。
Babylon is the mother of all religions.
所有地上的宗教都是从巴比伦来的。
All cultic religion came from Babylon.
比方说像今天的佛教也是。
For example, Buddhism.
我们知道佛教最早严格说来，他们的宗教是巴比伦的宗教。
Because at the very beginning, Buddhism and Hinduism, these were the religion of Babylon.
到了印度的时候，他们慢慢的就把它掺进了很多的东西。
When it came to India, they brought in many of their own stuff.
所以释迦牟尼是把那个原来变了样子的，就把它回到当初巴比伦的情形。
And Siddhartha really brought the whole situation back to Babylon.
这个就是今天我们所知道的佛教。
And this is the Buddhism that we know today.
我们知道巴比伦宗教主要是拜尼禄和他的妻子。
And we know the religion of Babylon was the worship of Nimrod and his wife.
所有的宗教都有神，都有女神。
And all religions have a male god and a female god.
他们所拜的女神，事实上追根到底就是尼禄的太太。
And this female god,if you trace it back through history, you find that that's the wife of Nimrod.
巴比伦，如果你追究它历史，在天文学上，他们对人类历史有很大的贡献。
And if you look at, if you study astronomy or astrology, you find Babylon had great contribution.
一个钟头有六十分钟。
There are 60 minutes in an hour.
一分钟有六十秒。
There are 60 seconds in a minute.
这是巴比伦给我们。
And we got this from Babylon.
所以巴比伦的天文学是没有话说的。
And astronomy of Babylon is unquestionable.
亚伯拉罕那个时候的数学是我们叫我们非常吃惊的。
And the mathematics of the time of Abraham is amazing.
但是很不幸的，那个时候这些所谓的天文学是在他们祭司的手里。
Unfortunately,the study of astronomy was in the hands of the priests.
所以他们就把它就印作祭司的手里，所以你看慢慢慢就发展出今天我们所知道的星象学。
And because these were in the priest's hands, and they developed into the astrology.
天文学是真的东西。
Astronomy is real science.
是 exact science.
Exact science.
但是呢，现在跑到祭司的手里，慢慢的就把一些东西就带进来了。
But in the hands of the priest, you have something else now.
中国的易经就是从这个系统下来的。
The 易经 of China, came from that source.
你知道易经严格说来可以用电脑来计算。
Strictly speaking, 易经 you can verify with computers.
那原因就是因为它是从巴比伦来的。
Because it came from Babylon.
所以根据圣经很清楚的。
And so the scripture is clear.
世界所有的宗教是从巴比伦来，所以巴比伦是他们的母亲。
All the worldly religions came from Babylon.
等到主回来的时候。
When the Lord was to return.
这些宗教又回到他们母亲的怀抱。
All these religions will be unified back to the mother.
所以在主回来以前，这个世界的宗教是个大一统的局面。
And hence,at the return of the Lord, there is a unification of world religion.
所以当我们读启示录第十七章的时候，
and hence when we come to Revelation chapter
17, 你发现那个大巴比伦就是近期的预言来说，是指着教会十二世纪以后黑暗的情形来说。
And when you look at Mystery Babylon,the immediate fulfillment was the church in 12th century.
那就是 remote fulfillment, 就是远期的预言来说，指着主回来以前全世界大一统的局面来说。
And the remote fulfillment is speaking of a unified religion, one world religion at the time of Christ's return.
所以如果你要形容教会在十二世纪那个时候的情形，你只要读启示录十七章，很清楚很清楚，那个很多的预言都已经应验了。
And if you want to know the condition of the church in 12th century, all you need to do is look at Revelation 17.
所以你知道教会居然变成巴比伦。
And so you find that the church turned into
教会应当是基督的身体。
The church ought to be the body of Christ.
教会怎么变成一个宗教呢？
How did the church become a religion?
佛教是个宗教。
Buddhism is a religion.
埃及的宗教是个宗教。
Religion of Egypt is a religion.
现在在这么多宗教里面，
And among
有一个宗教。
Among all these religions, now there's one more.
那就是在十二世纪大家所明白的宗教。
And that is the religion that surfaced in the 12th century.
第一个世纪跟随主的人。
Those who follow the Lord in the first century.
他们撇下一切来跟从主。
They gave their all to follow him.
他们说金子银子我们都没有。
And they said, silver or gold, we have none.
但是我奉拿撒勒耶稣的名可以叫你起来。
But in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk.
但是到了中古时期的时候，
But when we come to the Middle Ages,
你知道他们中间有一个很有名的神学家，
And you know, there was a very famous theologian at that time.
那就是 Aquinas, Thomas Aquinas.
And that was Thomas Aquinas.
有一天他到了罗马，
One day he came to Rome.
因为他是伟大的神学家，
Because he was a prominent theologian.
所以教皇呢就一定要接待他，
And the Pope was to receive him.
然后就在带他参观圣彼得，
And he took Thomasto visit the St. Peter's Cathedral.
然后教皇就对这个神学家说，
And the Pope said to this theologian,
你看看天花板，你看看我们的墙壁，
look at the walls, look at the ceiling.
我们第一任的教皇彼得，
our first Pope Peter,
他说金子银子我都没有。
And he said, silver or gold, we have none.
他说你看现在我们什么都有了，金子也有，银子也有了。
But look at us now, we have everything.
你知道那个神学家 Aquinas 怎么回答吗？
You know how Thomas Aquinas replied?
他说不错。
He said yes.
我们现在金子银子都有了。
Indeed, we have silver and gold.
但那奉拿撒勒耶稣的名可以叫你起来行走的能力已经没有了。
But that power in the name of Jesus to have people to stand up and walk,
为什么？
They're lost.
因为教会在世人的眼光中已经变成一个宗教。
Why? Because the church has become a religion in this world.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹，
Dear brothers and sisters,
教会最大的悲哀，
The greatest tragedy for the church,
当世人这样说，
is when the world would say,
这些人是佛教徒，
these were Buddhists,
那些人
Buddhists,
是回教徒，
these were the Muslims,
他们是基督教徒。
Now these are the Christians.
什么时候我们给世人这个印象的时候，
Whenever we give this impression to the world,
你看见教会已经被掳到巴比伦去，
and you will recognize that the church is in Babylon.
所以亲爱的弟兄姊妹，
hence brothers and sisters,
现在我们要问，
now we need to ask,
教会是基督的身体，
the church is the body of Christ.
你记不记得读使徒行传教会当初诞生的时候荣耀的光景？
Do you still remember the glorious condition when the church was first born?
你记不记得那个情形？
Do you still remember that condition?
你看见圣灵同在的时候，
You see the presence of the Holy Spirit.
你看见那个网一撒出去，三千条鱼就进来。
You see how the net was cast and 3,000 fish were caught.
然后五千条鱼又进来。
And then 5,000 were caught.
光是在耶路撒冷有几万人归向我们的主。
And there were tens of thousands in Jerusalem.
你看那都是圣灵的能力。
And you see the power of the Holy Spirit.
然后教会经过三百年的逼迫。
Now the church went through 300 years of persecution.
你看见那么长久的逼迫。
And it was so long.
罗马市长就写一封信给皇帝说，你不能再杀基督徒了。
A governor wrote to the Roman emperor saying, you cannot kill Christians anymore.
你杀一个罗马的基督徒，罗马城里面的基督徒，有另外一个人要变成基督徒。
Because when you kill one Christian in Rome, another Roman citizen will become a Christian.
如果这样的话，有一天罗马一个人都没有了，都变成信耶稣的。
And if you continue in this way, Rome will be filled with Christians.
所以弟兄姊妹， 你看见这是圣灵做奇妙的工作。
And you see how the Holy Spirit was doing this wonderful work.
所以有一个教父叫铁图连写了一封信给在上掌权。
And there was a church father, Tertullian, he wrote, to the authority.
我们虽然经过了许多的逼迫，从一个城跑到另外一个城。
Even though we went through the persecution, fled from one city to another.
但是在你们的国度里面，无论是在工厂，无论在学校，无论在什么场合，都有我们的人。
But you find one of us in every place in the empire.
除了在监狱里面找不到我们的人物之外，我们的人是充满了整个的罗马的天下。
And if we are not found in the prison, we are everywhere in the Roman Empire.
他的话一点都没有错。
And his words were
true. 等到逼迫经过了以后。
Now, after the church went through persecution,
在罗马帝国的版图里。
And within the territory of Roman Empire,
每两个罗马帝国的公民有一个就是基督徒。
Every two Roman citizens, there's one Christian.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹，这些人根本是手无寸铁。
You see, these people, they had no weapons.
他们被打不还手，被骂不还，被打不还手，被骂不还口。
And they, when they were hit, they would not hit back.
虽然他们到处被误会，到处被追赶。
And even though they were misunderstood and were
persecuted,
they were like the dust of the earth.
但是最后你看见，最后你看见说，神的确借着他们，
but God using them
做了一件历史上从来没有发生的事，
did something that never occurred in history.
罗马帝国征服了那个时候的世界。
The Roman Empire conquered the world of that time.
神的教会征服了罗马帝国。
The Church of God conquered the Roman Empire.
他们有一个皇帝叫做君士坦丁。
Now there was an emperor called Constantine.
他们知道这个方法不行的。
And he realized that persecution.
如果这样的对付教会的话，
if they continue,
因为他不知道教会的根根本是生在天上的。
Killing the church because they didn't realize that the root of the church is in heaven.
你可以砍树枝，你不肯砍树根。
And you can cut off the branches, but you can never touch the root.
弟兄姊妹，撒旦知道说，如果用吼叫的狮子不能够吓倒着他们的话，
and Satan understood that roaring lion could not scare them.
他们就装作光明的天使。
They now take the deception of a shining angel.
现在不再是狰狞的面目，现在那是笑容。
Now it's not an angry face, but a smiling face.
So 从君士坦丁开始，你看见整个撒旦的那个战略完全改变了。
And the strategy of Satan has changed at the time of Constantine.
君士坦丁就拥抱基督教，成为整个的国教。
Constantine embraced Christianity for the Roman Empire.
本来基督是没有聚会的地方。
Before Christians had no place to meet.
现在从此以后，所有这些侍奉的人可以从国库里面拿薪水。
Now those who serve in the church can receive salary from the empire.
你们没有地方聚会吗？
You have no place to meet.
他们把罗马帝国里面一些公共的场所叫 basilica 就通通拨给他们。
And they gave him the basilica, the public places of the Roman Empire.
那个 basilica 事实上就是他们普通聚集的地方。
And these were a meeting hall.
这个 basilica 可以是等于大会堂，大会堂是中间是一个大厅。
And the basilica is a great meeting hall where there's a forum.
然后两边是走廊。
And then there are corridors on each side.
然后到了最顶端的时候，刚好是个圆柱形的一个建筑。
And when you come to the end, you have a round wall.
所以我们要从那个时候开始，你看见教会就开始发达了。
And now you see the church begin to prosper.
现在你看见说，就在这些大的 basilica 里面就充满了许许多多的人。
And now you see people filling up these basilica.
因为现在皇帝是我们的弟兄。
Because now the king is our brother.
现在你看这些主教们，这些侍奉主的人，他们的前途，因为和皇帝做弟兄的缘故，所以你看见他们的世界，他们的前途就在世界上。
And because the bishops now are brothers of the emperor, now they have a future in the world.
而君士坦丁从第一天到最后一天根本就没有得救。
Unfortunately, Constantine was never saved.
他是个十足挂名的基督徒。
And he was a true Christian by name.
但是弟兄姊妹，我们要知道说，因着他拥抱了基督教的缘故。
But because of his embrace of Christianity,
他就把异教里面、外邦里面所有的东西就带到基督教里面来。
He brought all the pagan practices into the church.
而大家不要忘记
，and don't forget，
罗马皇帝
，Roman Emperor，
是怎么一回事呢
？What is it all about？
在罗马皇帝第一个是 Julius Caesar。
The first Roman emperor was Julius Caesar.
你叫 Julius Caesar 是谁呢
？You know who he was?
他一面是罗马的皇帝。
On the one hand, he was a Roman emperor.
这是一顶帽子。
And that was one big hat.
他还有一顶帽子。
He has another big hat.
那这个话说起来就长了。
Now this could turn into a long story.
我们是讲教会历史。
But our focus is still church history.
你记不记得自从巴比伦王国了以后
？You know after Babylon.Was destroyed.
这个巴比伦，这个宗教的中心还是在巴比伦。
But the center of religions are still based in Babylon.
那巴比伦的特点就是它有奥秘。
The characteristic of Babylonian religion was that they have many mysteries.
所以呢，他一定要给你个杯，所以圣经说的那个金杯。
And so they have to give you this golden cup.
这个金杯什么意思呢
？What does that mean?
就是当你要进入这个巴比伦宗教的时候。
And that is when you are to enter into this Babylonian religion.
你不是要得救吗？你需要知道一些奥秘。
If you are to be saved, you have to have some mystery.
但如果你要知道奥秘，你不能随便知道。
But for you to understand mystery, there's a price.
所以有人就给你个金杯。
So they have to give you a grail.
里面放酒的。
And you can put wine.
所以等到你这个金杯是很强烈的酒。
And it's strong drink in this cup.
所以等到你喝一点的时候，你这个人等于半醉状态的时候。
And after you drink of it, you are half drunk.
然后这些人他们就把一些奥秘就告诉你了。
And when you're in that condition, they tell you some mystery.
那么这个巴比伦的奥秘大概是什么呢
？Now, what is this mystery all about?
就是你不需要救主。
The mystery is you don't need the Savior.
你如果发展自己的话，你自己可以救自己。
You can improve yourself to a point of saving yourself.
这个就是巴比伦的宗教哲学。
That was the religious philosophy of Babylon.
你可以做好的。
You can improve yourself.
你只要修桥补路，你可以一直爬，爬到天堂上去的。
And you can improve, you can have all the self-improvement, you can climb into
heaven. 这个就是巴别塔的原则。
And that was the principle.
那个就是巴比伦的那个，可以说巴比伦的奥秘。
And you can say that that is the mystery of Babylon.
所以你看见吗？这个是早期的，这个最早这个中心在哪里？在巴比伦。
And you find that the center of this religion was in Babylon.
那么他们的大祭司
，Now the great priest
有一个封号叫 Pontifex Maximus.
And their title was Pontifex.Maximum.
那这个很明显是指着谁？很明显是指着他们说，是指着大祭司来说的。
And these were titles of the great priest.
那么后来这个大祭司搬到什么地方，这个巴比伦中心就搬到什么地方去。
And wherever these priests went, the center of their worship went with them.
前不久我们有些弟兄，140几位弟兄，我们到了这个别加摩去。
A while ago, 140 brothers and sisters, we went to Pergamum.
那别加摩是在土耳其。
Now Pergamum is now in Turkey.
现在已经成为废墟了。
And it's a ruin.
但是别加摩，如果你往上走的时候
，But if you go north, from Pergamum,
现在你还看见两棵大树在那里。
And you will see two big trees.
但是呢，有一个古迹呢，已经被搬到柏林去。
One of the historical sites was moved to Berlin.
你记不记得在给别加摩的书信里面
？Now, do you remember in the letter to Pergamum?
你记不记得与启示录里面讲到撒旦的作为
？Now, you remember, there it mentioned the seat of Satan.
那撒旦的作为是什么
？Now, what is that?
那就是说，在约翰写书信的时候
，And that is at the time when John wrote the letter.
如果那个时候你访问别加摩的话。
And if you were to visit Pergamum,
你会发现呢，这个希腊的神里面最大的叫丢斯，圣经里所说的丢斯就是 Zeus， 就丢斯。
And the greatest god, in Greek, mythology is Zeus.
那么圣经所说那个丢斯，那个丢斯的庙，就是丢斯的那个祭坛，就是在那个山上的。
Now the temple, and the altar of Zeus was on the mountain in Pergamum.
那么如果你懂得历史的话。
And if we study that part of history,
在那个时候，大概公元前200年
And about 200 BC,
巴比伦的中心已经巴比伦就挪到了什么地方？已挪到了别加摩。
The headquarter that was in Babylon has been moved to Pergamum.
因为那个时候的巴比伦城已经没落。
Because at that time, Babylon, the city, was gone.
所以一直荒凉到波斯湾战争的时候。
And it was desolate until the time of the first.
现在巴比伦城又重建了。
And now Babylon is rebuilt.
所以因为这个缘故，你看见虽然那个巴比伦城已经埋没了，但是呢，这个巴比伦的宗教中心慢慢就挪到了别加摩。
And so 200 years BC, even though Babylon the city was gone, but their religion was moved to Pergamum.
那么这是主前大概200年的样子。
And this occurred in 200 BC.
到了朱利亚凯撒的时候。
When it was the time of Julius Caesar.
如果你讲的皇帝，如果第一个的话，大家一定讲的 Julius Caesar.
And,When you mention Roman Emperor, the first one would be Julius Caesar.
你知道为什么后来他们要拜皇帝吗？
Do you know why they worship Emperor?
为什么圣经讲到那个七个头啊，都有亵渎的名号？你知道原因在哪里吗？
And why the seven heads, they all have blasphemy?
因为那个是说七个罗马皇帝说的。
Because they were speaking of the seven Roman emperors.
而这七个罗马皇帝他们自己都认为他们是神。
And these seven Roman emperors consider themselves to be God.
所以那个时候这些皇帝有他们的庙的。
And so all these emperors had their own temples.
那么现在非常有意思，到了这个 Julius Caesar 的时候。
And so when we came to Julius Caesar,
你知道说巴比伦宗教的中心从别加摩就搬到了罗马。
And the worship center, moved again from Pergamum now to Rome.
谁是巴比伦宗教的大祭司呢？
Now who is the great priest, supreme priest of the religion of Babylon?
Julius Caesar 就是 Pontifex Maximus.
Julius Caesar was Pontifex Maximus.
简单的来说，是巴比伦宗教的教皇。
Simply put, he is the pope of the religion of Babylon.
所以你看见罗马皇帝有两顶帽子。
And so Roman emperor had two hats.
你看见吗？一顶帽子他是罗马皇帝。
One, he is the emperor of Rome.
这是政治的。
This is political in nature.
同时他也是宗教的。
At the same time, it is also religious.
清楚吗？很清楚的。
Is it clear?
当保罗受审的时候。
Now when Paul was tried.
现在考古学可以很清楚给我们看到。
Now archaeology clearly can show us.
如果保罗真的在尼禄在那里受审的话，我们知道他在哪里受审。
And if Paul was tried under Nero,
在那个广场里面，那紧紧靠着他受审的地方有一个庙，有一个庙就是 Julius Caesar 庙。
And right by where Paul may be tried, there was a temple of Julius Caesar.
所以从那个时候开始。
And from that time on,
所有的罗马皇帝都是两个帽子，两顶帽子。
Roman emperors wore two hats.
一面他是国家的皇帝。
On the one hand, he's the emperor.
另一面他是巴比伦宗教的教皇。
And on the other hand, he is the pope of Babylon religion.
他是最大的祭司。
He is the supreme high priest.
那弟兄姊妹。等到君士坦丁拥抱基督教做国教以后
Now when Constantine embraced Christianity
现在你想想看
Now
这个君士坦丁没有得救
First of all you realize he was never saved
他根本就是敬拜太阳神
He was a worshipper of sun god
你这是很清楚你如果去读这个历史资料很清楚很清楚
And you study history it's very clear
结果他就不知不觉就把所有异教巴比伦宗教的东西就带到教会里面了。
Gradually, he brought all the pagan practices and worship into the church.
比方说
，For example,
礼拜天
，Sunday.
为什么叫 Sunday?
Why is it called Sunday?
为什么礼拜天要休息呢
？And why do they rest on Sunday?
因为对于敬拜太阳神的人 ，Sunday 是最重要的。
Because worshippers of the sun god.Sunday was most important.
所以对我们来讲是主日。
For us, it is the Lord's Day.
但是对于敬拜太阳神的人，他们称作 Sunday.
But for those who worship the sun, it's Sunday.
所以尤其中文的翻译很难听，礼拜一、礼拜二还有礼拜日。 And
the Chinese way of saying it is really worshipping the sun or the day.
所以你就知道，如果你懂得那个背景，你就晓得根本这事实上我们看得很清楚。那么你知道这就是 Sunday 怎么来的。
And this is how Sunday came about.
那么所有的宗教都有，每年最热闹的时候就是他们的神过生日的时候。
And all these religions,the greatest day of festivity is the birthday of their God. And you remember the uprising during the
那次大概是发生在五月的时候。
In Ephesus, when Paul visited that city, it happened around May.
那个以弗所那个女神刚好是五月生日。
Now the female goddess, the goddess of Ephesus was born at that time.
好，他们那个节期啊，可以一面来说是个宗教的节期。
And so for them, that festival was a religious festival.
一面是大家发财的好机会。
And it is also a great time for profit.
所以母亲节很多人发财了。
And so Mother's Day, many make money during that. Why are there Father's Day?
因为领带卖不出去了，来个父亲节。
Because they couldn't sell all the ties, and so they have this Father's Day.
很多的人会告诉你，他们一年做生意只要说圣诞节就可以了。
Many people tell you that the profit they make during Christmas will last them the whole year.
所以你看见每年以弗所那个，因为那个以弗所那个神庙啊，可以说是古时候世界七大奇观之一。
And we know that the temple in Ephesus was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world.
他们是等于这个，今天你到雅典，雅典不是上面有一个雅典女神的庙，要比它大四倍。
And it is four times greater than the temple that's in Athens.
所以大概是今天圣彼得堂的四分之三那么大。
And so it's about three-fourths of the St. Peter's Cathedral.
所以我们晓得说，在那个时候每年到了过节，你大家都到那里去过节去。
And so every year, everybody will come to the city, to attend the festival.
他们没有想到保罗的福音何等有大能。
They didn't know about the power.
你看那些本来是敬拜偶像的。
And those who worship idols before.
结果呢？结果我们知道说，结果他们都归向神了。
But now they all turn to God.
你怎么知道？
How would you know?
你把去年的生意跟今年的生意一比较，你就算得很清楚。
Because if you compare the money that you made last year with this year, it's clear.
所以后来他们就暴动起来了。
And so there was an uprising.
直接一信了耶稣，你看这个生意就没有了。
Because these people turn to the living God, we lose our business.
所以这就给你看见说，为什么在异教里面那个过生日过得那么热闹。
And so that's why the birthday of the God is such a great event.
那么只有基督徒是冷清清的。
And only the Christians, they do nothing.
他们读圣经根本读不出到底主耶稣是哪一天降生的。
Because when they read the Bible, they could never figure out when Jesus was born.
所以每年的时候，如果你相信异教，你还很热闹；一信了基督徒，就冷清起来了。
And so if you are a pagan, then it's great, lots of things to do. But if you're Christian, there's nothing to do.
所以现在你为着要和异教一样的热闹。
And so now, in order to have the same kind of festivities as the pagans,
你总得去主耶稣找个生日才可以。
So you have to find a day when Jesus was born.
横读直读都读不出主耶稣哪一天生的。
But no matter how you read the Bible, you can never figure out when that day was.
现在哪一年生的我们都不知道。
And today, we don't even know which year it happened.
稀奇不稀奇？
Isn't that weird?
这么重要的日子好像圣灵忘记了。
It's as if the Holy Spirit forgotten the greatest day.
不管哪一天哪一年都搞不清楚。
And we are unsure which year and which day.
但是弟兄姊妹，有一件事圣灵要我们记得的，就是每逢七日第一日，我们要擘饼纪念主，为着你们如此行是为了纪念我。
But the Holy Spirit is very clear that the first of 7 days we are to remember the Lord.
你看这是教会。
That is the church.
但如果到巴比伦宗教去。
But if you return to the Babylonian religion,
如果要迎合世界的热闹的话，
and if you want to join the festivities of the world,
那么这个时候你应该怎么办呢？
What do you need to do?
所以你一定要把一些东西带进来的。
So you have to bring something in.
所以有人就读圣经，主耶稣是公义的太阳。
And some read the scripture, they find that Jesus is the righteous son.
12月25号刚好那个日子是最短的。
And December 25th, that day is especially short.
那因为很短，然后从那天开始慢慢大起来，所以那天应该是刚好生下来，慢慢大起来。
And because that day has the shortest it's the shortest daytime, and from that time, the day would become longer.
所以最后大家就决定说，那天就是主耶稣的生日。
And finally, they determined that that must be the day when Jesus was born.
这个只是个例子给大家看。
Now that is only one example.
很多异教里，pagan巴比伦宗教的东西，最后通通带到教会里面来。
And we find that all the pagan practices are all brought into the church.
等到奥古斯丁的时候。
And when the at the time of Augustine,
Augustine 对教会的贡献，一半是功，一半是过。
And the contribution by Augustine, half of it is great, half of it is not good.
毫无疑问，讲到我们今天，我们不过是罪人，我们得的乃完，一切都是恩典。
And unquestionably, grace.
那弟兄姊妹是从奥古斯丁来的。
Came from Augustine.
奥古斯丁的启示是从保罗来的。
And his revelation was from Paul.
所以今天所谓的 reform, 所谓的改革中的信仰。
And reformed faith.
简单的来说，就是根据奥古斯丁的，就是根据保罗的。
And simply put, is based on Augustine, based on the Apostle Paul.
如果没有奥古斯丁的话，
if there were not such an Augustine,
我们对于保罗的启示看得不清楚。
Now we would not be so clear on the revelation given to Paul.
但是不要忘记，
don't forget,
也是奥古斯丁。
It was the same Augustine.
因为当他还在地上的时候，
when he was still alive,
他亲眼看见西罗马帝国亡了。
And he saw with his own eyes how Western Roman Empire was destroyed.
所以他受了很大的刺激。罗马帝国已经亡了，指着西罗马帝国来说的。
And what he was trying to say is, even though the Roman Empire is done,
教会要起来取代它。
The church will now rise to replace it.
所以弟兄姊妹，
hence brothers,
因着这个缘故，
because of this,
是奥古斯丁就对后来整个教会的发展就给了个理论的基础。
And he gave the theological basis.Of future development of the church.
教会不光是教会。
Church is not only the church.
教会现在变成个国了。
Now the church is also an empire.
而且那个永远有长存的国乃是指着教会来说的。
And that the eternal kingdom is speaking of the church.
所以弟兄姊妹，现在只要离开教会就没有救恩。
And so if you are excommunicated from the church, there's no salvation.
所以我们知道的很自然的在教会里面有一些爱主的不错，但是很自然的，他们在圣经以外就加上了一些的东西。
And even though there are those who are faithful, but many they add things to what the Bible has.
结果因着这个缘故
，because of this，
到了最后，教皇终于诞生了。
And finally, the Pope was born.
很稀奇
，amazing。
这个 Pontifex Maximus。
This title, Pontifex Maximus,
本来应该是皇帝的。
It was a title of the emperor.
两顶帽子。
The king who wear two hats.
现在皇帝没有了。
Now the emperor is gone.
现在那顶帽子谁来戴的？
Who is to take up that hat?
那个时候罗马的一个主教，最大的一个，他就接过来这个封号。
And the greatest of the Roman church, the pope,took up the title.
所以后来教皇就接受了这个封号。
And so the Pope now has that title.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹，现在你很清楚为什么教会已经被挪到巴比伦去。
Now you understand why the church was taken to Babylon.
你看神的话是多么清楚。
And you see how clear is God's word.
我再说弟兄姊妹。
Let me repeat.
君士坦丁根本没有得救。
Constantine was never saved.
谋杀自己的儿子。
He murdered his own son.
谋杀自己的妻子。
And he murdered his own wife.
结果罗马的城就通通闹都轰动起来了。
And the entire city came to an uproar.
他罗马待不住了。
And he couldn't stay in Rome any longer.
所以他只好搬家，搬到君士坦丁堡。
And he moved and went to live in Constantinople.
所以君士坦丁堡后来就变成东罗马帝国的首都。
And Constantinople became the capital of Eastern Roman,
今天叫
Roman Empire. Today it's called Istanbul.
自从奥特曼帝国以后就变成 Istanbul.
And since the Ottoman Empire, it's called Istanbul.
但是君士坦丁堡是告诉我们说，
But Constantinople tell us that he was not saved.
连罗马的人不信主的人都不能容纳他。
And not only that, even the Roman citizens in Rome could not trust him.
所以弟兄姊妹,
brothers and sisters,
教会什么时候开始堕落的?
When did the church fall?
教会什么时候和世界结婚? 什么时候被世界欢迎?
When was the church wedded to the world?
亲爱的弟兄姊妹,本来是世界的渣滓,从一个地方被赶到另外一个地方。
Originally, these were the dust of the earth chased by people.
那是教会最荣耀的时候。
That actually was the most glorious
moment of the church. 你看那是见证最刚强的时候。
You find that that was when testimony was strongest.
但是等到所有神的仆人从国库里面拿薪水。
But when all the servants in the church take salary from the empire.
然后神的儿女们他们在最豪华的地方聚会。
And now the children of God meet in the most extravagant places.
皇帝成为他们的弟兄。
And now the emperor is their brother.
现在他们的前途是在世界上。
Now their future is in the world.
因为整个的欧洲有一半的土地是教会的。
Because half the empire now belong to the church.
弟兄姊妹，因着这个缘故，本来大家是跟随主的。
You see, initially they were following the Lord.
但是现在呢，大家爱世界去了。
Now they love the world.
那如果大家爱世界去了
，And because of this,
谁来办属灵的事呢
？Who who was to handle spiritual things?
所以很自然的，有一般人专门管属灵的事。
And so naturally, a group of people would be dedicated to handle spiritual things.
这一般的人就是为神职的人员。
And these were the priestly class.
大部分的教会爱世界去了。
Most of the church are in the world.
他们最多有一些的奉献。
And at most, they would bring some offering.
那么谁管理家里的事呢
？Now who were to handle
结果很自然的就落在少数的人手里面。
And naturally, it fell into the hands of a few.
教会怎么是基督的身体呢
？How was the church Christ's body?
所有的肢体都不动了。
All the members are no longer active.
只有几个在那里动。
Only a few of them were active.
弟兄姊妹，你现在看见说教会是基督的身体，这个实质已经失去了。
Now you find that the reality that the church is Christ's body is lost.
教会成为一个典型的宗教。
Now the church becomes a typical religion.
弟兄姊妹，现在你看见吗
？Now you see.
这个就是教会被掳到巴比伦的情形。
That was the condition when the church was taken to Babylon.
大家记得
，Remember.
当以色列人被掳到巴比伦的时候
，When the Jews were taken to Babylon.
你要记得，他们已经尝过神恩典的滋味了。
Now these were people who had tasted God's grace.
他们有神的启示。
They had revelation.
他们有圣经。
They had the Old Testament.
所以没有问题，犹太教是有启示的宗教。
So it is true, Judaism had revelation from God.
没有毫无问题的。
It was unquestionable.
所以等到他们被掳到巴比伦，因为他们不忠心。
Now because of their unfaithfulness, they were taken captive to Babylon.
巴比伦到处都是偶像的。
And in Babylon, there were idols everywhere.
巴比伦也有宗教。
And Babylon, there was religion.
但是他们所有的是砖头，他们所有的不是石头。
But all they had were made of bricks, not stone.
耶路撒冷是石头盖的。
But Jerusalem was built with stone.
巴比伦是砖头盖的。
Babylon was built with bricks.
因为巴比伦那个地方都是平原，没有山的，所以他们只好模仿石头，就盖了一些砖头。
And because Babylon was situated on this desert plain, they had no stone.
这个就是典型的宗教。
And this is a typical religion.
但是弟兄姊妹，等到以色列人被掳到巴比伦。
When the Israelites were exiled in Babylon,
是不是以色列就放弃了他们的圣经呢？没有。
Does it mean that they would give up their scripture?
但是因为现在他们被掳到巴比伦去了。
But because now they are in Babylon,
所以在他们的身上，你看见巴比伦，你也看见他们那一份。
And so you can see Babylon, but you also see their own.
所以一面你看见犹太教。
So on the one hand, you see Judaism.
另一面你看见世界。
On the other hand, you see the world.
在亚伯拉罕离开迦勒的乌尔以前，那个是纯粹的世界。
And before Abraham left Ur, that was the world.
那么过了河以后是纯粹的启示。
And on the other hand of the on the other side of the river, it was all revelation.
被掳到巴比伦。
Being captive.
你看世界和所谓的启示就混在一起了。
You find that the world and revelation now are mixed.
本来是砖头。
Initially, it was.
现在是石头跟砖头放在一起的。
Initially, it was only bricks, but now stone and bricks.
所以巴比伦就是混乱的意思。
And so Babylon means confusion.
如果光是虚假，你看不出虚假来。
Because if it was all deceit, you can tell right away.
如果在虚假里面有一点真理，你就完全被迷惑了。
But if deception is mixed in with truth, then you are confused.
所以这就变成巴比伦的情形。
And this was the condition in Babylon.
所以弟兄姊妹。 当教会被掳到巴比伦，这是什么意思呢？
When the church is in Babylon, what does that mean?
就很清楚的，
it's very clear.
那就是告诉我们是教会已经犹太化了。
It means that the church is Judaized.
不止如此，
furthermore,
而且教会已经世界化了。
The church become worldly.
所以你看见以色列人被掳到巴比伦种种，就能应用在教会的身上。
And so the things that occur to the Jews in Babylon can be applied to the church.
所以我们说到了黑暗时期，教会被掳到巴比伦，什么意思呢？
And so when we talk about the dark ages, the church in Babylon, what does that mean?
主的话是很清楚的。
God's word is clear.
现在你看见所谓的被掳到巴比伦的特点，一个是教会现在是犹太化了。
And so one characteristic of the church in Babylon is it's Judaized.
还有教会就世界化了。
And secondly, the church become
所以教会就完全失去了它的纯洁。
Heathenized. So the church lost her purity.
所以让我们记得。
And so remember.
一面教会失去了它的根基。
So on one hand, the church lost her foundation.
回到巴比伦。
They return to Babylon.
所以到了教会最黑暗的时候。
And hence, in the darkest time,
你看见大家根本不明白福音的真理。
You find that at that time, people don't understand salvation.
他们根本不知道他们是怎么得救的。
They have no idea how they are saved.
他们忘记他们是过了河的一般的人。
They have forgotten that they have already crossed the river.
结果你看又被掳回到巴比伦去。
Now they have returned to Babylon.
在巴比伦怎样有迷信，现在在他们身上也有迷信。
How there were superstition in Babylon, now they have the same.
在一般宗教徒的身上，迷信是当然的事。
And superstition among world religions is natural.
现在在教会里面充满了迷信的事。
But now the church is filled with superstition.
所以弟兄姊妹，现在连那个最根基的都没有了。
And so now what is most fundamental is lost.
你现在犯了罪，你怎么办呢？
Now if you have sinned, what do you do?
你是上天堂呢，还是下地狱呢？
Do you go to heaven or go to hell?
他们告诉你说好人上天堂。
They tell you that good people go to heaven.
告诉你说坏人下地狱。
They tell you evil people go to hell.
那不好不坏的到哪里去呢？
Then those in middle, what happened to them?
他们说有个地方叫做炼狱。
Now they tell you that there's a place called a purgatory.
专门为做不好不坏的人。
And it's specifically for those who are neither bad nor good.
慢慢在那烤你，慢慢的炼你。
And you are slowly cooked and purified.
等到你纯洁的时候，你就可以上天堂了。
And after you become purified, now you can go to heaven.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹，现在你看人对救恩完全不认识。
So now you see the idea of salvation.
现在巴比伦宗教告诉你怎样行善才能够得救。
Now the Babylonian religion tell you how to do good to be saved.
现在你要施舍，要做这个，要往弥撒，要做这个，要做那个，然后你就能够得救。
Now you have to do good and go to mass to be saved.
你如果向玛利亚祷告的话，
and if you pray to Mary,
你就可以减少20,000天的罪。
And you can reduce the amount of time spent in
purgatory. 你本来在炼狱里面还要长一点， 但是现在可以减掉20,000。
By 200,000 days.
所以亲爱的弟兄姊妹，
so brothers and sisters,
因着这个缘故，
because of this,
你看见教会连基本的真理都丧失掉了。
And so the church has departed from the most fundamental truth.
连人怎么得救都不清楚了。
They don't even know how to be saved.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹，
dear brothers and sisters,
现在完完全全回到巴比伦那边去。
They have completely returned to Babylon.
你记得亚伯拉罕当初 实在是不清楚，在那边实在是不清楚。
You know, Abraham was not clear when he was in Ur. He received revelation.
现在他清楚了。
Now he's clear.
现在他得救了。
Now he's safe.
但是等到教会最黑暗的时候，
but in the darkest moment of the church,
你看见说教会连这个都失去。
You find that the church has lost
its
foundation.
所以悲哀在哪里？
So what is
第一，他失去了福音真理的根基。
The tragedy, it lost the foundation of gospel.
第二，他失去了教会的纯洁。
Second, she lost the purity.
她的表现不再是基督的身体。
Her appearance is no longer the body of Christ.
别人怎样谈论佛教，
how people talk about Buddhism,
别人也怎样谈论他们。
In like manner they talk about Christianity.
在这么多的宗教里面，
and among all the religions,
基督教是其中的一个。
Christianity is one of them.
教会是其中一个。
And church is one of them.
你会办工厂吗？ 你也会办教会。
If you know how to manage a factory, you know how to manage a church.
你会办学校吗？你可以办教会。
And you know how to found a school, you know how to found a church.
人根本就不知道什么叫做教会。
People have no idea what the church is.
这证明什么？
What does that tell us?
这证明教会已经被掳到巴比伦。
This tells us that the church is taken captive to Babylon.
教会已经到了最黑暗的时候。
Now the church has come to the darkest age.
但是感谢主。
But we thank God.
圣经告诉我们说。
The scriptures.
教会的天要亮。
That they break, they will break on the church.
所以神就呼召得胜者。
And the Lord is calling overcomers.
凡得胜的。
Whoever overcomes,
主要把诚心给他。
The Lord says, I will give him the morning star.
所以感谢主弟兄姊妹。
We thank the Lord.
从因为这个缘故，我们读历史的话。
And because of this, when we come to history,
我们就看见圣灵怎么工作。
We see how the Holy Spirit was working.
我们以为圣灵从十六世纪开始做。
We thought the Holy Spirit worked in the 16th century.
我们以为从马丁路德开始做。
We thought the Holy Spirit worked beginning with Martin Luther.
弟兄姊妹，从十二世纪圣灵已经开始。
But in reality, the Holy Spirit began the work in
现在我们要看圣灵怎么做这个工作。
We want to see how the Holy Spirit did that.
我想这一点是非常重要的。
And I think this is very important
for us. 我想我们今天只能够打一个底子。
I think today we'll just establish this foundation.
然后我们明天下午和晚上和主日我们会继续。
And tomorrow afternoon and evening and on the Lord's Day, we will continue.
所以什么叫做教会的复兴？
What is this recovery of the church?
教会的复兴就是神所要得着，他终于得着了。
The recovery means God will recover what He desires.
当以色列人在巴比伦能够得着成功，得着兴隆的时候
，When the Jews can obtain prosperity and success in Babylon,
有一些人他们愿意回到神旨意的中心。
A small group of people were willing to return to Jerusalem.
弟兄姊妹，结果就借着这一班人
，And through this group of people,
他们回到原来的根基。
They went back to the original foundation.
他们把祭坛重建。
They rebuilt the altar.
然后把圣殿也重建。
They rebuilt the temple.
然后他们把圣城、把耶路撒冷城墙也重建。
And they rebuilt the wall of the city of Jerusalem.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹，这里有一段很长的故事。
There's this long story.
然后你看见为什么有哈该书？
Now you see where there's a book of
Haggai.
Why there was a book of Zechariah?
为什么又有以斯帖记？
And why there would be the book of Esther.
换一句话说
In another word,
教会复兴的历史
The history of the recovery
那个轮廓乃是用这五本的书卷为我们描写出来的
The outline of the church history was given to us in these five
books. 这样我们不只懂得教会的复兴史
Now we not only can understand the history
我们也知道圣灵对这个历史的解释
We can also understand the explanation of the Holy Spirit.
那这样教会就一条道路了
Now we have a way.
我们知道怎样的往前去。
The church has a way on how to go.
在主回来以前
，before the coming of the Lord.
我们应当怎样的忠心
？How we ought to be faithful.
这一班人是剩下的。
These were the remnants.
几百万人只剩下五万人。
Out of millions, there's only 50,000.
但是见证在他们的身上。
But you find the testimony in them.
是因着他们主能够回来。
It was because of them.The Lord was able to come into this world.
迎接主来的。
It was them that welcomed the coming of the Lord.
他们是为着主能够进到圣殿，把圣殿重建起来。
It was because of them the Lord was able to enter the temple.
也是因着他们的缘故。
And because of them,
有一天主耶稣终于能够降生在伯利恒。
And the Lord was able to be birthed in Bethlehem.
所以但愿主开我们的眼睛。
May the Lord open our eyes.
主在主回来以前。
Before his return,
如果教会要得着复兴的话
，If the church is to be revived,
主一定要得着一批傻瓜才可以。
And the Lord must obtain a group of silly people.
让那些聪明的人留在巴比伦。
Let the smart people stay in Babylon.
让他们得着成功。
Let them have their prosperity.
让他们得着全世界。
Let them obtain the world.
但是只有借着一般少数的人。
But through a small group of people.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹，最后主终于能够把救恩带到这个地上。
The Lord is able to bring salvation.
也是因着我们忠心的缘故。
And it's also because of our faith.
最后，我们的主能够回来。
That the return of the Lord.
是我们这一班人能把主带回来的。
It is a group of people like us, like this, that can bring the Lord.
这就是教会的道路。
Bring the return of the Lord. This is a prayer of the church.
但愿主开我们的眼睛。
And so may the Lord open our eyes.
我希望现在大家都准备好了。
And I hope we are all prepared.
我们讲的教会的复兴不是带给大家真的兴奋。
And when we talk about recovery of church, it's not to just bring some emotional.
这里给我们看见我们的路在什么地方。
Here we want to see a way.
这里需要代价的。
There is a price to be paid.
你要在巴比伦跟耶路撒冷中间做个选择。
You have to choose between Babylon and Jerusalem.
你要在世界上人所以为的成功和神的旨意中间做个选择。
You have to choose between success in the world and God's will.
所以但愿这次我们在一起有这样的时间。
And I hope the time that we have,
主能开我们的眼睛。
That the Lord can open our eyes.
让我们愿意走在神的旨意上。
So that we are willing to walk in the midst of God.
我想今天晚上就是一些开头的话。
I think tonight, we have a good beginning.
那明天下午，我想我们会看得更清楚一点。
And tomorrow afternoon, we hope to be clearer.
但愿主一步一步地带领我们。
And may the Lord lead us step by step.
我们低头有点简单祷告。
Let us bow our heads and pray.
亲爱的主，我们把这些话恭敬地交在你的手里。
Dear Lord, we commit these words into your hand.
我们仰望你，借助这几天的聚会，开我们的眼睛。
We look to you to open our eyes.
主啊，我们谢谢你为我们预备了这个聚会。
We thank you for, preparing this opportunity for us.
也许我们许多人中间有人生下来就为着这个周末。
And maybe some of us are born because of this weekend.
我们何等的幸福。
Lord, how blessed we are.
你这样的恩待我们。
That you have been so gracious.
但愿你的话语向我们开启。
Lord, open your word to us.
我们不只认识教会的历史。
So that not only we come to know the church history.
我们也能明白圣灵对这些历史的解释。
But that we will also understand the Holy Spirit's explanation of it.
我们求你把那条道路指给我们。
And we ask that you would show us the way.
无论如何的艰难。
Lord, no matter how difficult it is.
我们愿意讨你的喜欢。
Lord, we desire to be pleasing.
我们感谢你。
We thank you, Lord.
这是你给我们的荣耀。
This is the glory that you bestowed upon us. This is your grace.
我们不知道为什么你拣选我们。
Lord, we do not know why you have chosen us.
我们不知道为什么你看上我们。
We do not know why you chose us.
既然你爱我们。
But since you love us.
既然你爱我们是那个不肯放我们的爱。
And since your love would never let us go.
我们就求你不放松我们。
Lord, we ask that you will hold us.
把我们紧紧地抓在你的手里。
That you will hold us firmly in your hand.
我们求你在这个城里面。
And we ask that in this city,
在西雅图这个地方,
in the city of Seattle,
能够成功你自己的旨意,
that you will fulfill your own will.
我们感谢你。
Lord, we thank you.
我们求你继续把你话语向我们倾倒。
We ask that you will continue to pour out your word.
我们说我们都在这里。
Lord, we are saying we're here.
我们求你对我们说话。
Speak to us, Lord.
靠主耶稣基督可爱的名。
In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.